The title of our series kind of says it all, Pit to Promise. We're trying to find hope in our deepest hurt. We began this series last week with this idea that pits are going to happen in our life. Struggles are going to happen. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And what we began last week was an interesting journey. We began studying the life of a man named Joseph. It's a story we learn from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. And the story that we learn about this guy named Joseph. Joseph had 11 brothers. He had 10 older brothers and one younger brother. He had an older sister. And Joseph's brothers did not like him very much. He was the 11th son, but he was his father's favorite son. And his father didn't really hide the fact that Joseph was his favorite son. He gave his son a beautiful robe, which basically said, you don't have to work and your brothers do. He often would brag about his son in front of his other kids. His brothers didn't like him at all. Then Joseph had a couple of dreams that his brothers really hated. And so Joseph was not well liked by his brothers at all. And it was really about things that were completely out of his control. And last week, what we saw is that Joseph went to visit his brothers. His brothers were out working. His dad sent Joseph and said, hey, go find your brothers. On Joseph's way to visit his brothers, they see him coming in the distance, and they hatch this plan. They decide to kill Joseph. So this is some serious sibling rivalry here. Right? They decide to kill him. And what they do is another brother says, hey, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him into this pit. And so that's where we left Joseph last week, right? Completely out of his control. He had nothing to do with it. External forces had come to him. They had attacked him. They had thrown him into this pit. He was in this situation he had no control over and didn't see a way out. And I know for some of you, you feel that way right now. Or you felt that way before. Or pretty soon you're going to feel that way again because things happen to us in our lives that are beyond our control that put us into these pits. And the reason we're studying the life of Joseph is because God moves through these pits in Joseph's life. And I believe the same God that's moving in Joseph's life in this story has the power to move in ours. So let's pick right up where we left off last week. We left Joseph in the pit, and actually this is what happened. They grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. So he's in this pit. And then one of the coldest verses I've ever read in the Bible comes next. Joseph's brothers throw him into this pit. He knows they're planning to kill him. Then, just as they were sitting down to eat, they have lunch with their brother in a pit. They've attacked him. They've thrown him into the pit. And they decide that's a good time to eat some food. Now, I want you to imagine Joseph in this moment. Joseph has been cast down into this pit. Joseph's head is spinning. And when he's in the pit, it is dark. And he's calling out for his brothers. He is pleading with them. Please don't do this. Please let me out. Somebody, please. And as he stops screaming over the echoes of his own voice, he hears his brothers laughing as they eat their lunch. And he realizes no one's coming to help. And the world is moving on without him. But in that moment, in that pit, Joseph had hope, and it's hope you can have today. Because Joseph knew, even though the world was moving on, God had not left him. God had not forgotten about him. God had not forsaken him. God had not turned his back on him. In fact, he clung to the promise I hope you can cling to today. God won't leave the pit until you do. And that's all Joseph had. And for some of you today, as you're sitting in this room, maybe for the very first time, maybe you've been invited by somebody else, and there's struggles going on in your life, and you feel alone. You feel like the world is moving on without you. You feel like the people that have harmed you are prospering, and you don't get it, and you're so mad at God, you don't know what to do because you can't wrap your brain around it. It's so unjustified. It's so unfair. And what I hope you hear is that God won't leave the pit until you do. That's a promise. It's a promise he made to Joseph, and it's a promise he makes to each and every one of us When we are in our deepest, darkest moments, God is with us, and God won't leave the pit until we do. Now, I understand if you're new today and you don't believe in God, you have a hard time believing that right now. That's why we're reading the story. That's why we're studying the life of Joseph, because the life of Joseph screams that God won't leave the pit until you do. God does not forsake Joseph, even in his darkest moment, and that God won't do that to you either. In fact, he promises that even in your deepest, darkest moments of despair, if we cling to him, he can turn that into good. How, you ask? Well, let's keep reading. Then, just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming towards them. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother? We have to cover up the crime." See, the brothers are very pragmatic. They're thinking this through. What are we going to gain if we actually kill our brother? It doesn't really make sense to kill him. Why would we kill him? And then he gets this great idea. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. Let's sell our baby brother. Some of you teenagers right now think that sounds pretty amazing. I had to say that last hour as well. This is one of those things we are not supposed to copy from the Bible, right? In fact, this is how I know the Bible's real, because if the Bible was a made-up religion and people were making that up, I'm definitely leaving this part out. I'm definitely leaving the part out where the people who become the fathers of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel decide it's a great idea to sell their brother. I'm not telling that part of the story. You know, I'm leaving that out. We didn't sell him, we saved him. That's what I'm saying. But no, they decide to sell him. Listen to this. After all, he is our brother. He's our own flesh and blood. Let's not kill him. Let's just sell him. And that's what he did. They sold their baby brother. You know how much for? For 20 pieces of silver. Commentators tell us that wasn't even a lot. That's what you got for an old slave or a handicapped slave. Joseph was 17 years old and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver because they just wanted to get rid of him. Little side note. Do you know that just because the people in your life don't see your value, that God sees your value? Joseph's brother sold him for 20 pieces of silver. That was nothing. And he could have felt worthless at that time. And you've had people treat you certain ways and do certain things to you because they just didn't value you. And it made you feel worthless about yourself. And it made you feel less than. But please hear me. Those people do not determine your value. Joseph's brothers did not determine his value. The God of the universe determines your value. And the God of the universe has declared you priceless because he sacrificed his son so that he could have a relationship with you. So don't you dare let anyone who's not willing to pay the price determine the value on your life. Because value is only determined by what someone's willing to pay. And God was willing to pay everything. That's what happens to Joseph. Joseph, these guys, they throw him away. They just cast him off. And then they take his coat and they go kill a goat. And they cover his coat with goat blood. And then they take the coat back to his dad, Jacob, and they lie. They say, "Dad, we found this coat. It was covered in blood. We can't find Joseph. We think a goat killed him. And apparently ate him. Like, it was a zombie goat, I guess. Because the story doesn't make sense. Like, we found the coat. Well, where was your brother? Oh, he was gone. I don't know. The goat ate him." But anyway, they take you back, and Jacob is just disheartened. He's distraught because his favorite son's dead. The brothers are thrilled. And Joseph is on his way to a place he never thought possible. And some of you find yourself in the very same spot. You are headed in a direction you never planned. You had no control over. People in your life did things to you you didn't expect. They betrayed you. They lied about you. They slammed you. And now they're prospering. And you feel completely and totally alone. And the promise I want to remind you is the promise Joseph knew, and it's this: God won't leave the pit until you do. He knew it. God won't leave the pit until you do. So, verse 39, this is what happened. In Genesis 39, we see the rest of the story. When Jesus was when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he's taken to Egypt, and he's bought by a man named Potiphar. Potiphar, it says, was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. He was in charge of Pharaoh's private soldiers, his prison guard, right? He was in charge of these people. And so this is a very powerful man. This is a powerful man in the nation of Egypt. And that's who Joseph ends up with. Now, I'm sure what you're wondering right now, like the series is called Pit to Promise, right? And Joseph was in a pit, and he's now been led into slavery. Like, it ain't pit to slavery, it's pit to promise. So how is this a promise, Trey? I'm sure you're asking that question, and it's a great question, right? It makes a lot of sense. But we are not promised the fact that God's going to deliver today. Sometimes patience is required before we realize the promise God has planned for us. And you say, well, that don't sound fair. That doesn't sound fine. No. But that's the way it goes sometimes. It's like I said last week. Pit happens. Bad things happen. It just does. And God does promise us that he will turn it to our good. But he doesn't promise that it's going to happen overnight. All he promises is that he will never leave us. And in fact, the next thing we're told about Joseph, look at this in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He hadn't forsaken him. He hadn't abandoned him. Some of you, that's why I'm spending so much time at the beginning. Some of you came here today, and the reason you came was so that you could hear me say this. God has not abandoned you. He is with you. He is for you, and he will never turn his back on you. That's what Joseph clung to in this moment, the fact that God was never going to turn his back on him. And look at this. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. The Lord was with him, so he succeeded in everything he did. Now, do you know what this actually means? This means Joseph, even though he's in a pit, Joseph, even though he's in a land he didn't pick, even though his brothers betrayed him, even though he's been sold into slavery, Joseph was a good slave. Joseph worked hard as a slave. Joseph didn't sit around and pout and say, oh, look what happened to me. Joseph said, you know what? God's with me, so I'm going to do what I can even in this pit. It's like we said last week, when pit happens, we either have a breakdown or a breakthrough. Those are our choices. Joseph chose breakthrough. He could have had a breakdown. He could have sat around and pouted and sat around in his pit and had a pity party and said, look what God did to me. Why didn't God love me? Why does he love my brothers? Why did you do this to me, God? He didn't do that. Joseph said, you know what? I'm in some pit. But I got to cling to God so I can get out this pit. Yeah. Let me just get in that. He said, look, this has happened. But my God is with me. And my God is for me. So I can either have a breakdown or I can have a breakthrough. I can cling to God, and I can let him work good out of even this situation. I know that God is going to take care of me. I don't know what you're thinking. You're saying, Trey, so no matter what happens in my life, you're saying that I'm supposed to be good with it, and I'm supposed to be okay, and I'm supposed to try my best for God, and I'm supposed to praise God, not because of what happens, but because God is with me. Yes. Absolutely. That's what Joseph understood, is that even in the midst of his pit, he could cling to God. Now, do you know why he could do this? Because he knew the pit wasn't his final stop. He knew it was just a pit stop. He knew there was more. He was going to get out the pit. And the reason I could tell this story so excited is because I've read the whole thing. I know how it ends. And I know Joseph gets out of the pit. And that's why you can read this story, because we can see that Joseph gets out of the pit. Now, you may say, but Trey, you don't know my story. And you're right, I don't. I don't know your story. You don't know my story. I can't see the future. You can't see the future. But guess what? God can. And the same God that fulfilled his promise through the life of Joseph is going to fulfill his promise in your life. See, I don't have hope because of what I can do. I have hope because of who my God is. I don't have hope because I can see the path out of the pit. I have hope because I can look back and see that God has raised me out of pits before, and he's going to raise me out of the next one, because I know the end of the story. And the end of the story ends with a promise. And the end of the story is that we live with Jesus forever. So even in the midst of the pit, when you're in the pit stop, you could cling to God and say, this is not the end of my story. Because it was not the end of Joseph's story. Joseph decides to have a breakthrough. He clings to God even in the pit. God shows up in a big way. Look at this. Potiphar noticed this. He noticed that Joseph was trying hard. He noticed that God was blessing him. He noticed that it was because of God that Joseph was succeeding in everything he did. Potiphar noticed this. Now remind yourselves, you may not know, Potiphar did not believe in Joseph's God. In Egypt, Pharaoh was God. To even talk about another God was to set yourself up to be executed. But Potiphar sees what's happening in Joseph's life and cannot deny something's going on here. I'm noticing there is something different about this slave. There's something different about this guy. He praises this God, and this God is changing him, and he's moving through him. He realized that the Lord was with him, giving him success in everything he did. What if one of God's plans for your pit is to move through you to change the world around you? Because see, that's what's happening here. Joseph's in a pit, but Joseph clings to God. And Joseph says, hey, God, you got me and I got you. Let's do this. And the world notices. And if you're here today for the first time, you may say, come on, who does that? And to you, I would say, well, look to your left and to your right, because I would argue many, if not most of you, are sharing a row with someone who attends Wellspring, and they have been a pit, and they praise God in the pit, and God moved through them in the pit so that the Potiphars of the world noticed. And just personally for a moment, I can't tell you what an honor it is to pastor a church where people go through pits where they lose their jobs, pits of heartbreak, pits of disease, pits of illness, pits of when things just don't go their way, and to watch you over and over again choose to cling to God in the pit, choose to praise God in the pit, choose to serve God in the pit, choose to do the absolute best you can in the pit, and your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers are looking at you and saying, what are you going on? You're in a pit. Why aren't you acting like it? Because I have a promise. And I'm going to cling to that. And I'll watch you do that. And I'll watch your stories. And it speaks to me. I honestly don't know that there's anything that brings God more pleasure than when we serve him and praise him in our pits. Anybody can praise God when things are going well. Anybody can praise God when the good things happen. But to be like Joseph, to be like the men and women you're sharing rows with right now, who praise God in their pit, who cling to him in the pit, who don't turn their backs on him in the pit because they know that a promise is coming. Well, when you do that, the world notices. Look what happens next. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Stop. Bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Some of you right now are so frustrated because people in your life are being blessed and you're not. And you're missing the fact that God's blessing them for your sake. It's for you. That's what happens here. The reason Potiphar gets blessed is for Joseph's sake. Because when Potiphar gets blessed, he looks at Joseph and Joseph gains favor. What if God wants to bless somebody else for your sake and you're sitting here pouting and being so jealous about it and God's like, dude, I'm helping you out. Calm down. Chill out. Seriously. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Now look at this. Joseph was put in charge of his master's household. Joseph is in charge. Now, if we got any Downton Abbey fans in the room, we didn't last hour. I think they were lying, though. Downton Abbey fans in the room. If you don't know the story of Downton Abbey, it's a show that tells this story of this rich family in Great Britain. They own this really big house, and they have a bunch of servants. And the reason I say that is because, in essence, Joseph becomes Mr. Carson. Mr. Carson was the butler. And if you've ever seen the show, Mr. Cartland's a really, really big snob, and he doesn't really do much. Mr. Carson just kind of bosses everybody else around. He's kind of like the number two guy in charge. And so that's what happens to our boy Joseph. He gets put in charge of everything. Now, if your options are being killed by your brothers, rotting in a pit, being sold to anybody in the world in slavery in Egypt, or being Mr. Carson, Mr. Carson looks pretty good, doesn't it? If those are my options, I choose Mr. Carson every time. And so that's what our boy gets. And unless you think I'm kind of making this up, maybe it wasn't this serious, you know, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. He gets put in charge. Here's what it says. It says, all his household ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but it sure looks like God fulfilled his promise. Joseph was in a pit. He was going to die. Then he was sold into slavery. And now he's running one of the most powerful man's houses in Egypt. Now, did Joseph pick this? No. Did God cause this? No. Did God bless his situation and make it the absolute best it could possibly be? Yes. And the same God that fulfills his promise in Joseph can fulfill his promise in you. Now, if you're looking at the story, you're stepping back and saying, but Trey, he's still a slave. And you'd be right. You'd be right. We're not done with the story. We're not done with the story. In fact, Joseph's about to enter another pretty big pit. See, it's one of the reasons we're looking at this story is because a lot of times we think, well, we give our life to Jesus and everything's just going to be okay and we're going to get rich and never get sick and God's going to bless us. That's not how life works. As I've said, pit happens. The question is, how are we going to respond? And my prayer is that we respond the same way Joseph has responded. But you can't miss the fact God fulfilled his promise. See, so many times because we're looking forward and it didn't work out exactly like we wanted and we didn't get exactly what we wanted, we missed the fact that God has raised us from a pit and delivered on his promise. And he has turned our situation into absolutely the best possible circumstance it could be. And we miss it completely because we didn't get what we wanted. Well, see, our boy Joseph doesn't do that. Joseph understands, hey, God is with me, God is in charge of this, God is doing this, and I'm going to say thank you to God for this promise, for this deliverance in my life. Now, we are about to take a turn here, and it's quite a coincidence that I chose Downton Abbey as our example here, because what's about to happen next is straight out of a soap opera. We've talked a lot about Mr. Potiphar. I would like to introduce you to Mrs. Potiphar. But before we do that, the Bible tells us something that it very rarely says. I've read the Bible cover to cover. I can think of one other time in the entire text where we are told this type of description about someone. Here's what it says. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Our buddy had it going on. Joseph was hot. That's what he's saying. Now, I ain't saying he's hot. The Bible said he's hot. It kind of is weird. But anyway, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. Now, remember, he's still a slave, and she is still his master. Now, this is a very pivotal moment in the life of Joseph. How many of you know our lives are made up of pivotal moments? Moments where we make a decision that affects our future. We either go this way or that way. This is one of those in the life of Joseph, because he had come out of the pit. He is at his pinnacle. He has climbed the corporate ladder of Potiphar's house as high as he could be. His life has turned out as well as he could have ever imagined, given his circumstances. Given his pit, his promise has been fulfilled. He is out of the pit. Now, how many of you know that sometimes when we leave the pit, pride follows? See, sometimes when we exit the pit, we become pummeled with pride. And we begin to think things like, look what I did getting myself out of that pit. Well, I am so smart. I am just the best. I was down and out. I was in the dark. Nobody gave me a handout. Nobody helped me. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I did it all on my own. I'm a self-made man. That's what can happen. And how many of you know that when pride rises in your life, God falls? And we stop treating God as our authority, and sometimes we can even look at God as an equal. Maybe even God is less than us. And we begin to question his ways and question his word and question his commands. We begin to say things like, well, you know, God, I understand that this is what the Bible says, and this is one of your commands, but come on, let's be reasonable, God. That was 2,000 years ago. We're so much more sophisticated now. We've discovered so many things. There's no way you can expect me to continue to live this way, God. And we talk down to him like he's a five-year-old. And how many of you know that sometimes when you've had struggles in your life and you have to fight and claw to get your way up, and you begin to think you did that and you earned that, that pride comes in and you begin to develop a little bit of an entitlement complex. And, well, I worked so hard and I struggled for so long. I deserve this. I've earned this. Do you have any idea how easy it would have been for Joseph to look at God and say, dude, this is happening and you're going to get over it? Because I've earned this. I've earned this, God. Look up, man. Look how tough my life has been. Look how hard I've worked. Look how much I've struggled. I don't know anybody here. I had to learn a new language. I'm a slave. I work so hard. Who, you know, Mr. Potiphar, he's not faithful either. So what's it really going to hurt? What's it going to hurt if I give in to this woman's request? What's it going to hurt, God? Come on. What's it going to hurt? It's the least you could give me, God. I deserve this. You ever had those thoughts? Don't lie. That's what happens when pride follows us out of the pit. See, that's why we got to praise God in the pit. And we got to praise God as he brings us out. And that's what Joseph understood. Joseph knew this. So she approaches him. She says, come on, let's sleep together. And in verse 8, but Joseph refused. He said, no. Do you know why? Because he knew that the same God that pulled you from the pit is going to propel you towards your promise. See, if God gets you out of the pit, and then once you get out of the pit, you forsake God, what makes you think you're going to make your way towards your promise? The same God that got you out of the pit is going to propel you towards your promise. So when you get out of the pit, you can't lose sight of the fact that it was God that got you out of the pit. That's what Joseph got. Hey, I didn't do this. God did this in me. And if I turn my back on God now, there's no telling where I could end up. So I'm sticking with God. I'm sticking with the guy who was with me in the pit when nobody else was. And I'm sticking with the guy who got me out of the pit. Because there might be another pit coming. And I need God with me still. So today, remember that the same God that pulled you from the pit is going to propel you towards your promise. Joseph got that, and he chooses to honor God even in that moment. He looks at Potiphar's wife and said, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. And for a while, this works for Joseph, but eventually he finds himself in the house alone with just Potiphar's wife. That's a bad idea. He probably didn't have any control over that, but I hope you know, men especially, don't ever be alone with cray-cray. Just don't do it. You know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about, too. That one lady at work, don't be alone with her. Don't do it. She gets that look in her eye. Run! Don't you be alone with cray-cray. Don't you do it at all. But Joseph is a slave. Didn't have any control over it. So he's a lonely cray-cray. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. He ran from the house. Men, by the way, that's how you flee temptation, right? We don't see how close we can get, and we don't see what kind of pictures we can look at, and we don't get close, and we don't tip you over, and we don't say, well, we're just friends, and it's just an email, or it's just a text. We're going to see how we can get close. No! When cray-cray runs in, walks in, you run out as fast as you can. Joseph runs so fast that he left his cloak in her hands because she had grabbed it. And in that moment, Potiphar's wife decides, he's embarrassed me. I'm going to destroy him. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. Look, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me. How many of you know that sometimes you can do the right thing? You can do the God thing. You can honor God. You can do exactly what you are supposed to do. You can do exactly what God wants you to do, and bad things will still happen. There's nothing Joseph could have done differently in the story. And an evil woman who wanted to hurt him, lied about him. There's nothing he can do about it. At work, maybe this has happened. At school, maybe this has happened. Maybe coaching your kids' sport teams has happened. Just know you're not alone. It happened to Joseph too. And if you're in that pit right now, know, God won't leave the pit until you do. Because in case you're wondering, our boy Joseph is heading towards a pit. Because Mrs. Potiphar tells her husband, Mr. Potiphar, Potiphar does not like it at all. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. Back in prison. Back in a pit. Back feeling completely alone and betrayed and lied about. But something tells me as Joseph entered that prison, he wasn't as scared as he was when his brothers threw him into that pit. Do you know why? Because the first pit is usually the worst pit. Because see, the first pit, we've never found our way out before. We've never understood that God's going to be with us and God's going to rescue us and God's going to walk us out. See, Joseph had already experienced a pit. Joseph had already experienced God fulfilling his promise. So as Joseph walks into this next pit, he's got that memory in his head, and he's got that faith in his head, and he's saying, okay, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do here. And that is the goal of our relationship with God. It is not blind faith. It is faith built on experience. So many of you have been through pits, and the first pit was the worst pit. Because you'd never been through it before. You thought your life was over. You had never seen God rescue you and do miracles like you have now. You look back on that first pit now, huh? It was just a pit stop. Not only was it a pit stop, it prepared you for the promise you were about to receive. So you look back on it now and you say, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Now, what if you take that faith and that knowledge of what happened in the past and apply that to the future? And apply that to the next pit. The next time somebody stabs you in the back. The next time you're betrayed. The next time things go wrong. What if you can remember, hey. Well, God got me through that one. Pretty well, actually. Yeah, it worked out great. Well, now I'm in another pit. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to trust God for this. See, for some of you, your first pit, that's where you fell in love with God. You weren't even interested in God. You didn't have a need for God. Then you fell in a pit, and you thought your life was over. And that's when the God of the universe reached out and rescued you. And so you look back on that first pit, and you thank God for it. You thank God for the pit. Maybe you're here today, and you say, I don't have that experience. I've never been through a pit before. I don't even believe in God. Well, that's where we're reading the story. Because we can look back on Joseph's life. Because the same God that was with Joseph wants to be with you today. But as we go into the next pit, as we grow in our faith, What I want you to see is this principle. The best way to recognize God's hand in the present is to remember his actions in the past. He's the same God. He's the same God that worked through the life of Joseph. He's the same God that spoke to Moses as a burning bush. He's the same God that rescued his people from Egypt by parting the Red Sea. He's the same God that sent his son to die in our place on a Friday afternoon. And he's the same God that had the power to raise him from the dead on Sunday morning. That same God promises you today the promise we looked at last week from the book of Romans. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Same guy, same God, same promise. So for some of you today, I want you to look back on your first pit. I want you to look back on that first harm and heartbreak, which you had no clue what to do. And I want you to remember how God brought you out of it. I want you to reflect on the promise he fulfilled and how now you praise God for that pit. You don't want it any other way because of where he's put you now in your life. Now, for others of you today, you don't have that relationship. You don't have that hope because notice, this is not an unconditional promise. That we know God causes everything to work together. That is not an unconditional promise. Please see this. We know God causes everything to work together for the good. Who? Of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's a fancy way of saying those who have a relationship with God. Those who have made God Lord of their life. Those who have accepted the gift he gave us through his son. Those who have admitted to God, I can't do this on my own. I can't do life without you. I know my sins have separated us, but I believe your son paid the price for my mistakes. And when he came back to life on Sunday morning, it meant I could get a second chance too. Now, some of you today, you did not come believing you were going to change your mind about God today. But here's the amazing thing. God knew, and he's been planning this for days and weeks and months. He's been orchestrating things for you to be right here, right now, so that you could hear this truth. You're in a pit, and God wants to be with you. He wants to reach in and wrap his arms around you. And he wants to guide you into his promise and his purpose for your life. And he's not promising there won't be other pits, that there won't be other problems, but he's promising this, that the first pit will be the worst pit. Because you'll never go through another one alone. You'll never go through another one not believing and not having that hope, not in what you can do, but in who God is. That he is a God of promises. That he is the same God who rescued Joseph, and he's the same God who will rescue you today. So right now I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And if you're here today and you would say, yes, this is my first pit and I don't have a relationship with God. I don't see a path out of this pit. Well, I want to introduce you to Jesus today. I want to give you an opportunity to change your mind and to place your faith in him so that you can begin to experience the promise he has for your life. And it's very simple. I'm going to say a prayer out loud. And as I pray this prayer out loud, you just pray this prayer in your heart. You just talk to God directly. And you cry out to him and you say, God, please rescue me from this pit. I can't do it on my own. I admit that I make mistakes, that I'm a sinner. I believe that your son paid the price. He took my punishment. And he died on that cross so I can have a relationship with you. I believe he came back to life, and that means I can too. It means I can get a second chance on life, that I can have a relationship with you where you guide me every day and you show me the path out of this pit. So today I commit my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to experience your promise that even this pit can be made good. It's in your son's name we pray.